Judges, the second chapter, and please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 8. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, and as the Lord had said, even as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. But it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. It came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They cease not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Let us pray. Father, I sure thank you again today for the Bible, the Word of God. I thank you for the great privilege it is to read it, to study it here this morning. We thank you, Father, for the precious Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. And Lord, we thank you for sending him to die upon the cross for our sins that we might have eternal life. It's in his name I come to you today, Father, because of his shed blood. The only way I could even approach you was be through him, Father. And so I ask these things, asking these petitions, Father, of you because of your Son. Once again, this preacher needs your power, he needs your wisdom, and we need attentive ears this morning to the Word of God. We'll thank and praise you for it, and we'll give you the credit and honor for all anything good that's done. Lord, we know it'll come from you. Thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Abel and I one day went over to families there in Duggar, an older man, an older lady there, and we had the opportunity to lead them to Christ. But the interesting thing about it was you went in, and if it was raining, they were sitting at this table. Always when we go, other folk went with us, they's always sitting at this table. It was kind of their dining table. And if it was raining, the gentleman had to move a little bit because it was dripping down through the ceiling. And it would go drip, drip, so he'd move over, you know, and they'd put something underneath the drip. Now, of course, he could not do that, but I wonder how many people, would, instead of getting up and fixing it, would just let it drip. I don't know whether you've ever done that or not, but, you know, the real answer to a dripping ceiling is to fix the roof. I think we've all got that. That's pretty normal, and I think that's what we would do. But, you know, sometimes we deal with the symptoms of our problems, deal with those things that, you know, instead of fixing the problem, we just deal with it. I've got an old truck out there. It's a 1972 Ford, and I run around in it a little bit, not too much. Can't go too far in it. But anyway, I just, when I want something, I want something hauled, I jump in it and I run after something and do that. And I noticed the other day it's getting a little bit of a knocking sound in it. It isn't bad, but it's a little bit of a knocking sound. And one of two things I can do, I could fix it, or I can put heavy oil in it and STP in it and make it sound better. But I still got the problem. Now, it's a 72, and I'm not going to fix it. I'm just going to let it go until it goes. But anyway, you know, sometimes we can try to solve the symptom of the problem, and yet we still got the problem. Amen. You can put a bandage on gangrene and wrap it up real pretty, but the gangrene is still underneath the bandage. Amen. I guess we'll just probably all agree with that. We've got to take care of our problems, and I'm afraid that we as Christians many times spend a lot of our time just fixing the symptoms, working on the symptoms of our problems rather than actually letting God fix the problem. Here in Israel, when we read this portion of Scripture to you, I could have read quite a few different portions of Scripture as we would look here at what happened in the book of Judges and look at Israel, because over and over in the book of Judges, they would work on the symptoms. They did not fix the problem, because always they was being taken back into captivity. And God would have mercy upon him. He'd send a judge to them, and they would deliver them from their captors. But it wasn't long. They was back doing the same things they always did, and right back again under captivity. So what I'm simply saying is they didn't learn their lessons. They just worked on the symptoms. They just simply wanted God to deliver them, call out to God, but they never fixed the problem. And the problem was they needed to get right with God. And if you'll notice in the scripture that I read to you in verse number 10, it says, about the middle of it, said, which knew not the Lord. You see, a generation arose who knew not the Lord. Their problem was they knew not the Lord. They needed to fix that problem. Amen. And then it goes in verse number 12 and says that they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. Once again, the problem was they knew not God, and they forsook the God of the father, their fathers, who their fathers had served. They forsook him. The problem was there. We find in verse number 13, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. So we find again that the problem was that they walked away from God. And instead of fixing that, instead of doing right and getting right with God and serving the true and the living God, they would always call out to God wanting help, and God would send them a judge and they would deliver him, and then they'd go right back again. They never fixed the problem. And I'm saying to you today, I believe that we could look throughout the scriptures and find account of that after account of it. I think we see it today in America today. We're not fixing the real problem. You go back to 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter. We're not going to go back and read that. But you find that Israel was being defeated by the Philistines. And so they said the answer is to go and get the Ark of God. We got to bring the Ark of God here. You remember that portion of Scripture. You've heard me talk about that. And bring the Ark of God. They thought the Ark of God would save them from being defeated. Now the problem was that when they got the Ark of God, they didn't bring the God of the Ark with them. That was the real problem with them. You see, they had a problem. They just wanted to work on the symptoms of the problem. They just wanted to get the Ark of God there, thinking that would take care of everything. But it didn't, because they forgot God. They didn't correct the problem. Amen. You understand that? You see, what we're doing today is we're trying to correct the problem with, or we're just working on the symptoms without really correcting the problem. I believe Lot done the same thing. Lot came out of Egypt with Abraham, and Abraham came back there to the promised land, and he built an altar unto the Lord. But Lot never did build an altar. The Bible never says anything about Lot building an altar, ever going back and worshiping God. No, instead he ended up down in Sodom and Gomorrah, down in that horrible, horrible place down there at Sodom. Well, why did he do that? He never fixed the problem. You see, he looked around and he saw all the well-watered plains of Jordan. He loved those. He wanted those. You see, and so he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Wasn't too long after that, he was sitting in the gate of Sodom. So I'm saying to you, what was the problem? Well, he didn't fix the problem. You see, he was just trying to work on the symptoms. He wanted the good things. He wanted that life that he learned to love as he was down in Egypt. He wanted to retain that kind of life. And so he came back up, but he never fixed the problem. He never built an altar unto the Lord. Now I can go back and I can show you in the New Testament where when Peter, James, and John, or excuse me, Peter went fishing and took some of the disciples with him. They went out fishing, and of course the Lord came to the bank and called them in. You remember that story. But what I'm saying is, when he got him in there, he recognized it was the Lord. And the Lord began to ask Peter about, he said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" He asked him that three different times. Why did he repeat that over and over? Peter wasn't fixing the problem. You see, I'm just saying to you folks, we got to fix the problem. God recognized that Peter's love was not for him fully and completely, was not for him. So he asked him three different times. God is, I believe, doing that today in the church today. He's trying to find out if we love him more than we love these. And these could be all those fish, or could be all of those things that we have. You see, what I'm saying is simply we need to fix the problem. And God's not going to be satisfied until we fix the problem. That's the problem we have in all the translations that's coming out today. See, we don't understand all of that. We got all these translations coming out today. They're trying to find a translation that will help people to understand the Bible. Folks, what we need is a people prepared to understand the Bible. Not some other translation. You see, I hear this all the time. Well, if we get this translation, I can understand the Bible better. No, you just need your heart prepared to understand the Bible. The truth of the Word. You don't need all these translations. They're watering down the Word of God. We don't need that. No. But that's the problem. See, what they do is work on the symptoms. We've got a group of people who don't study their Bibles. They don't love the Bible. And so they want to find something that makes it easy for them to read, rather than to study the Bible. So they try to get another translation, something else that'll make it easier for them. What we need is our heart prepared to understand the Bible, the Word of God. Now again, I say to you, I think the same thing is happening. I believe it's happening in churches today, when people are trying to correct the problem by joining a church. They think that'll take care of the problem. They're just working on the symptoms. You see, now you say, is it good to join a church? Sure, I'm all for joining Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm for that. If you're a born-again Christian, I'm for you coming and working with us here. I'm just simply saying, though, a lot of folk are trying to take a church membership and solve their problem. Church membership will never solve your problem in your relationship with God. You see, no, it won't. We're doing the same thing with baptism. We're trying to make baptism something that solves the problem. Now, I think baptism is wonderful. I think anybody gets saved ought to be baptized. Absolutely. You believe that. I believe that. I believe that's true. A lot of people, though, think because they get baptized, you see, that'll take care of their problem. No, you got to be born again. You must be born again. That's going to take care of the problem, not church membership, not baptism, although those things are good. And a lot of people say, and I've heard so many people say this, you know, they'll say to me, well, I've been good to my neighbor. I've been good to so-and-so. And I've always tried to live a good life. Listen to me, folks. If any of us could have done that and got to heaven, Jesus would not have had to die. You see, what we're doing is trying to work on the symptoms. We got problems in life. We don't have a peace inside us. So we try to join a church and get baptized and try to be good to people, thinking that's going to solve the problem. It won't solve the problem.
Amen.
Amen. The only solving of that problem is when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're born again. That will solve the problem. A lot of church problems today. And let me say to you, I talked to a man this week. He said he used to go to a church, and he said, and of course he'd moved away from that church, but he used to go to this church. He said it was a wonderful church, wonderful, wonderful church, he said. And I mean, he said for 15 years, he said, really, you just walk into that church, and let me say you what he said to us. He said, it's a lot like your church. I hope it's like that. He said there was unity there. He said people loved one another there. And he said you'd walk into that church. There was no church problems. No serious problems. Some things they had to take care of, but no big deal. And he said, and then it went haywire. And he said, why did that happen? I said, I can tell you according to the scripture why it happened. The Bible says the reason for strife and division and envy is carnality. No, I'm just telling you this. You know, church problems, when you look around and say, why are we having so many church problems? Carnality.
Amen.
No, God says that over in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. He tells us exactly that that kind of problems comes from carnality, where there's strife and envying and all those things. There's no doubt about it. If we just listen to the scripture, if we just listen to the word of God. See, we're trying to work on the symptoms of things, and we try to straighten out a lot of these problems when really what the real problem is carnality. What people need to do is grow in their spiritual life. They need to become more like Jesus. And then you won't have that. Now, you can say, well, I got some strife in my life. Well, you're carnal. It comes from carnality. And you see, you don't want to hear that. But that's exactly where God says it comes from. See, all you have to do is just make up your mind. You know what? This strife. And so why is it there? Because of carnality. God says it is. It's because of worldliness. Wouldn't that take care of a lot of problems if we just recognize those things? And then we wouldn't have to work on all these symptoms that happen because of all of these things. No, it would be straightened out because the carnal would get spiritual. I mean, amen? Sure. Sure it is. I wish you had more amens than that. My goodness sakes alive. You know, I wish you'd smile at me too, because I'm just trying to help you. Amen. Give me a smile. Yes, that helps me. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, some of you. Thank you. Carnality. You understand what I'm saying? Do you hear me? See, that's why the strife. That's why the strife and the divisions and the envying takes place. You go back to 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter and you read it. You read what God said about it. It is carnality that causes that. See, there don't have to be carnality in God's church. And it certainly shouldn't rule. Amen? No, it shouldn't. So anyway, we try to work on the symptoms instead of the problem. You've got to get to the root of the problem. I think you understand that, but we've got to get down to the root of the problem. Amen? And take care of that. I remember back as a boy, I remember my daddy, when he put me out there in the garden, you know, he'd make sure I knew that I was supposed to cut the root up, not just cut the weed off. Said, son, them weeds will come back up if you don't cut the root out of there. You see, you got to get rid of the root. Isn't that right? Get rid of the root. See, the problem, you see, in carnality, you see, is the root. See, our government does the same thing. They work on symptoms instead of the real problem. You see, they do that. You know, we've got abortion. See, now think about what is the problem with abortion? They're trying to make it legal and trying to do this and trying to do that. But what is, they're just working on the symptoms. What is the real problem with abortion? Think about this with me for a moment. We've got 42 million babies that's been aborted since 1973. 42 million of them aborted. What is the problem? The problem is somebody don't love their little babies. Somebody does not love those little sweet babies, and somebody don't want to raise them. I'm talking about daddies and mamas. Amen. They don't want to raise them. So they want to cover up and say it's okay to abort them. Folks, see, that's working on the symptom. The real problem is here. Amen. Problem's here. I don't think, if I would ask any of you here, you know, I just chucked underneath the chin there of Jeff's little boy back there, you know, and he was laughing at me and all that, you know, and I was enjoying him so much, and I just look at him and think, how could anybody get rid of a little child like that? Sweet, precious children. Well, what has to happen? Well, it's down here. 42 million hearts decided they was going to get rid of their babies. Now, you know, and let me say this. I understand. I know. I realize they can be led astray. I mean, they really can. They can get wrong counsel. I understand all those things. But what I'm saying is the problem is not getting an abortion, or the solving is not getting abortion. The problem, solving the problem is taking care of the heart and getting back to right standards, biblical standards, you see, that will love those sweet little children. See, and we'll want to care for them. Daddies will want to go to work and care for those sweet children. Amen. Sure it is. We do the same thing with the sodomites. We're trying to do everything we can in America to make them things not only legal, which basically they've done that. Now they're trying to okay same-sex marriages. Well, folks, what we ought to do is do what the Bible says about that. We ought to consider them how God considers them, as an abomination. And it is an abomination. folks. It is. Yes, should they get saved? I want them saved. I want them to come to know Christ as their personal Savior. But we in America try to make laws to just smooth over this thing. We can't do that, folks. We're just working on symptoms, and we need to work on the problem. We need to cut the root of it out. What's the problem? It's a heart problem again. It's a heart problem. You see, and our government is trying to just to work on the symptoms of all of these problems. You take gun control. I don't know whether you're for it or against it, but I'm just simply saying to you. Let me just ask: how many people in here owns guns? It's amazing. Amen. And have you killed anybody today? How about yesterday? You see, the problem is not the gun. Problems are not the gun. Problems here. This preacher has guns. I just like guns. I like them. I enjoy shooting them. I just enjoy that. I've done that ever since I've been a boy. I've hunted ever since I was a little boy, a young boy. I like those kind of things. But I'm not going to go out and shoot somebody unnecessarily. You understand what I'm saying? See, the problem is not the guns. The problem's here. So why are we working on the symptom of the problem? Why don't we work on the problem? Amen. See, we need to get back to God. That's the problem. We need to get back in line with the Word of God. That's what we need to do. Amen. Same thing with alcohol. They put airbags in our cars and seat belts on us and make it a law that you have to wear them. And I'm sure they have saved some lives. I'm sure of that. But why don't we deal not just with putting seat belts in and airbags in to work on the symptoms of the problem? Why don't we deal with the problem? Why don't we deal with alcoholism? Why don't we deal and outlaw alcohol?
Amen.
Amen. If we're going to why don't we outlaw cars? If guns are bad, why don't we outlaw cars? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to say we've got to get back to working on the real root of the problem instead of just the symptoms, you see. And child abuse. It's a horrible, horrible, wicked thing. I believe that, and I know it must be horrible to have to deal with that all the time. That is horrible. But let me ask you where the problem of child abuse is. We raised four children, and the only way I ever abused them is spanked them like they should have been spanked, because the Word of God said to. But they grew up all right, and in fact, I think all of them are, no, I don't see Bobby, but he usually is here. He's usually, all of my kids are here. You know, this morning, they lived through it. Why would an individual abuse a little child? It's a heart problem. Why don't we work on the real root of the problem? Amen. A person would abuse a little child does have a problem. Yes. Amen. You see, I'm just simply trying to say to you, folks, we need to work on the real problems. And let me say to you, the church needs to do the same thing. A person said to me, I held a funeral here just about a couple weeks ago, I think it was. And of this older lady, and one of the ladies was standing and talking to me about church, and she said, well, the pastor there at the church I know of was saying he's just so discouraged, and he's just down in the dumps. He said, hardly no one's coming anymore, and the church is going down. And I didn't say this. This is what this woman said. She said, I just looked at him and said, then why don't you go out and start knocking on doors?
Amen.
That's good preaching. Go out and knock on some doors. If your church is going down here because it's not being done there. So why don't you go knock on some doors? Win some people to Christ. Why don't you do, you know, if the attendance is low, why don't you do something about it? Don't just sit and talk about it and try to work around on the symptoms of it. Why don't you go do something about it? Agreeable? Sure. You see, I think that's what churches need. We talk about the loose living that's in Christianity today. And it is. It's loose living. What I'm saying is the answer to loose living is hard preaching.
Amen.
And I believe with all my heart we need more hard preaching.
Right.
We don't need this ear-tickling preaching. We need some hard preaching that'll condemn sin. Man told me the other day, he said, I never hear my pastor ever condemn sin. Never preaches against sin. That's wrong. That's why in Christianity, there's loose living. Because I want to tell you something. You listen to this preacher. If I preach against sin, and I will preach against sin, I'm going to shake my finger at you. I'm going to do that Sunday after Sunday. And if you're not doing it, you won't feel a bit bad about it. You'll amen me. If you're doing it, one of the things you're either going to do, you're either going to run or you're going to quit it. But I'm not going to make you happy. I'm not going to make you feel good. Well, so the problem in our churches is we need to get back to biblical living. Living like God tells us to live, and that's the way we ought to live. And you ought to feel comfortable if you're in sin. You ought to feel comfortable about it. You ought to be able to go into church and sit there and feel comfortable. No. You see, the people are saying today we're losing our young people. What are we going to do? Churches are doing this all over the country, believe me. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to give them more pleasures in the church so they can do. We'll make more pleasurable things in the church so they can do, so we can keep our young. That's not the answer. The answer is to preach to them. Preach the word of God to them. And to hold line with them. You see, get the home right and work according to the Bible and do things according to the word of God and do right. You see, that's the answer for the young people, that you're losing your young people. We need to not work on the symptoms of it. We need to get back and work on the root. What's the problem, you see? And, of course, another one's always a good one is, you want to solve church problem, get rid of the pastor. That'll solve just about every church problem there is, so says some folk. We'll just get rid of the pastor, get rid of him. Oh, everything will be all right. It probably will for a month or two. You see, you didn't get rid of the problem when you got rid of the pastor. There may be a percentage that is true. It's possible, certainly. But most of the time, the problem is not with the pastor. The problem is sin in the church. You see. You know, I always say this, and I'm going to say it again because I'm the pastor. You got somebody coming around to your ear talking against this pastor or any other pastor, y'all be ashamed, you say. Lori, will you take care of that situation there beside you? See, that's the way we stop foolishness. You get rid of the pastor. That's their answer to everything. Okay, that's their answer. And no, that's not the answer, folks. It's get rid of sin. Do right. You, as I said, you hear people talk about pastors, not just me, pastors, and I want to tell you right now, you ought to straighten that out. You ought to stop it. You ought to quit listening to it. You ought to quit being a part of that, period. Sure, you see, because listen to me, you are the problem. That's carnality. Amen. And then, of course, another great one is change our standards so that kids will want to come and people will want to come. Change your standards. Lower the standard of the church so people will come to the church. Well, I think we're doing pretty good. We've got high standards. You hold your standards up, God will send you people. God will send you people. Yes, he will. See, the answer is not lowering it down where people will come in. The answer is holding it biblically where it should be, and then God will send them in. But regardless whether he does or not, leave your standards where they should be biblically. See, we're just trying to work on symptoms, you see, to get everything straightened out. You gotta work on the problem, the root of the problem. Schools are doing the same thing. I'm not familiar with all schools, and I don't know if all schools do this, but I know there was a time where they lowered the passing grade for a test so that the people would pass the test. They made the test easier so they would pass it. Folks, that's working on symptoms, not the root of the problem, you see. You see, what happened a long time ago is they took God out of the schools. No, they took him out. They kicked him out. Then they want to know why things are not going right. The only answer is getting God back in the schools, getting back where he belongs. And let me say, and I've said this before, but listen to me, I'm more interested in getting God back in the home than I am the school. We want to gripe about that God's not in the school, but most of the time he's not in our homes.
Right.
Say, well, I want my kid to read the Bible in school. Do you read it in your home? Amen. Us getting back in our homes, and us getting back in our schools. You see, I know Brother Hightower mentioned, you know, now we've got guns and weapons in our school today when it used to be chewing gum and throwing spitwads. My wife was reading me a little article there last night, and I think it was on the, what was that paper in, you remember? What was it? It was in the Indianapolis paper about the meth labs and everything. It said they're taking over the rural areas of Indiana. Now, Johnny Waterman, if he would hear, he should sure tell, there he is, Johnny's over here, he sure tell us that that is true, I think, wouldn't you, Brother Johnny? But you know what? They say they're taking over. I mean, this was an article right on the paper that it's taken over, meth labs. Silly. Foolish. I read an article, and I don't know a whole lot about it, but I read an article where if they get hooked on no meth, and I mean it only takes once or twice to get hooked on it, they can't hardly get off of it. We need to work on the root of the problem. The root of the problem is getting God into their life. That's the answer. No discipline in our schools. Well, we took the God of discipline, we took the Bible out of school, so why should there be any discipline in the schools? In our homes, dads won't lead. I don't know what you do or not, I'm just simply saying, we got a real problem in fathers not leading in the homes. We got a real problem with mothers not submitting in the homes. We got a real problem with children not obeying in the home. You know, Donna and I went over to Ryan's here a couple weeks ago and sitting in Ryan's over there eating, and it was a perfect example. She was sitting across from me like this, and I was sitting here, and behind her was a family, and right over here to our side was a family, and I went up to get me something to eat and came back, and she said, that gentleman right there beside us just said to his daughter, you and I are going out to the car, and we're going to settle this. And he was gone when I got back, and Donna wanted to kind of stand up and give him a cheer. And we didn't do that. When he came back, we didn't do that. But it was interesting. It was so interesting because this little girl came back. I suppose she was 5, 6 years old or somewhere in there, 7 maybe. I don't know what she was, 4. I don't know. But when she came back, she just sat there like a little young lady. No, really. And just sat and eat and just was a fine young lady. And gave no more trouble whatsoever. You know, it was just fine. It was what she needed. She needed that. And then the family sitting behind us, now this is the God's truth. What I'm going to tell you is the God's truth. Was a lady sitting with, I suppose a 4-year-old, something like that. And she had no control over her whatsoever. This little girl would get down from the table and run as fast as she could through Ryan's. And the mother get up and run as fast as she could through Ryan's, chasing around these little bar things, you know, they got up here. Chasing her as fast as she could chase her. And when she finally would catch her all puffed out, she picked her up and went like this. That's exactly what she done. I'm serious. No harder than that. Went over, and this little girl was just smiling. Went over and set her down. And so she mother went around and sat down, and no sooner she got sat down, she took off again. I mean done that over and over and over and over again. And here she was chasing that little girl. If this man over here would have just took and instructed her what to do, it would have been settled. But I'm telling you, that's what's going on. You see, we're trying to work on the symptoms of the problem, when the real problem is that little girl, honestly, needed to be loved by a parent and handled correctly and punished or corrected correctly, biblically. I'm not talking about beaten, but she ought to have been corrected biblically and taken care of, because that little girl is going to grow up and the rest of her life she's going to be a mess. So we need daddies that'll lead. We need mamas that'll be mamas and children that will obey. You see, what we do is we hand over our children to the world and let the world train them, and then we wonder why in the world they act like the world. The world is not going to train your children properly. You need to train them biblically, scripturally, you see. They don't follow the scripture in raising them, and they don't understand why they're not spiritual kids. You got to get back to the Bible. Raise them according to the Bible. Marriage is the same thing. We don't mind God when it comes to marriage problems. And so what do? They're falling apart. Folks, I told my Sunday school class, I'm telling you right now, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter will cure a marriage. If you will absolutely do what it says, because it says exactly what love does and what love does not do, if you'll follow those principles and you do what love does and you don't do what love does not do, and you do it, Bible says love never faileth. You treat your wife with dignity and kindness and love, and the wife treats her husband with dignity and kindness and love and respect, and that's what that portion of scripture basically tells us to do. If we'll do that, it'll be all right, but marriages are falling apart all over the world. All over this country. Why? Because we're not following biblical principles of marriage. Amen? We need to follow the order that God laid down for the family. God laid it down in His Word. It's a wonderful order. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. He's told a daddy how to act, a husband how to act. He's told a wife how to do. He's told children how to act. Just follow it. Do what God says. Yes, there'll be problems, but you handle those problems biblically, scripturally. And it's okay. But don't just work on the symptoms. Now, just two more things and I'll quit. Christians are doing the same thing. They're out here, they don't have any peace. Because they're walking contrary to the scriptures. They don't have any peace. They don't have any joy in their life. Oh, they put a smile on it. They put a smile like they do. But there's no peace and joy down here like they need and should have. The reason is they won't do what the Bible says to do to get that. And that's repentance. And that's a word that multitudes of Christians across this nation hate. They refuse to repent to God Almighty. I mean true repentance to God. And you know what? That's when David said his joy of his salvation returned. You can't walk in sin and contrary to the Word of God and have the joy that needs to be in your life. You can't have it. God won't let you have it. But I'll guarantee if you come to the place of repentance, I'll guarantee you God's a wonderful, loving, wonderful Heavenly Father who forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When there's true repentance, isn't that true? God will do that. Amen. And now to the lost. You know what a lost man tries to do? He tries to work on the symptoms of his problem. He tries to clean up his life. He tries to be a better husband, a better wife. He tries to be a better employee. He tries to quit smoking. He tries to quit drinking. All those things are good, but folks, that's not going to take care of the problem of eternal life. The lost man tries to turn over a new leaf and thinks he's going to be right with God. No, you have to come to a place where you are really honestly honest with God and say, God, I'm an old lost sinner. I'm who you say I am. I sat the other day with a man who said, I found out that the problems between me and my wife mostly are me. And I'm straightening it out. He said, our relationship has improved tremendously. He said, I really had some problems, Pastor Ross. And I said, oh, I commend you. Thank you for looking at yourself. See, that's what we need to do is look at self. I would say to a lost person, look at yourself, realize you're not right with God, and realize that you can't get right with God any other way than putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Don't work on the symptoms. Get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is sin. Sin. And we need our sins forgiven. Amen. So don't work on just the symptoms. And that's what multitudes of people are doing. Get to the root of it. Cut that weed, not off at the top of the ground, but dig down and get the root. Because if you cut it off at the ground, it'll come back up. Get the root out. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace. I thank you for who you are. You're the great, the true God. Help us today, Father. I trust this message has been helpful. Lord, that we will realize we've got to get to the root of the problems. Whatever it is, we've got to get to the root of it. And we realize, Lord, for lost folk, they got to realize their need of Christ. That's the beginning. That's where they have to start. That's what they have to do before they'll ever truly live for God. Now, I trust if there's anyone here unsaved, that this will be the day they'll come and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And then also, Father, for we as Christians, there's needs that we try to do the same thing. We just try to work on the symptoms of the problem and not get to the root of it. I pray, God, you'll be able to get down in our hearts today and help us, oh God, to realize the need of our life and deal with it the way you would have it dealt with. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.